All right, let's get started this morning. Our main passage is going to be Luke 2:52. And Ayel, if you'll get that for us, Luke 2:52. Then the second time, Luke 2:52, David Sanchez, if you'll get that for us. And then Lem Pula, Luke 2:52, that'll be the third time. Antonio, 1 Timothy 4:15, if you'll get that. Colby, if you'll get for us, Galatians 6 and verse 4. And then lastly, Hebrews 13:21. John Oliveros, if you'll get that for us, Hebrews 13:21. You know, I've heard Pastor Greg make this statement a couple times, paraphrasing, maybe not exact, but 1 year from now, I hope to be a better preacher than I am today. And so when I hear that, I think, is that even possible? You know, that he'd be a better preacher than he is today. And then time goes on and the answer is yes, right? Is revelation, wisdom, life-changing impact, etc. But it is important that we recognize and understand that that is intentional. That's not just something that happens. He doesn't just say it, he works at it. And that's an example for you and I, because in the passage we're going to look at, it's recognized in Jesus that he developed in wisdom and in favor. But I think a key word there is him growing in or into it. And I think that's what we need to see this morning. Let's look at Luke 2:52, and I want to read, this is titled Observable Growth. Go ahead, Ayel.
Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people.
Okay, he grew in observable growth. Let's lay a foundation. Let's talk firstly about growth. Growth is the normal productivity of life, right? You plant a seed, and in that seed, it contains life. If it's a fruit tree, it contains future fruit, future harvest. It's meant to grow. You can think about the gestation of a pregnancy. A gestation of a pregnancy is measured by growth. They can determine things by growth and development. The health of a child is recorded in terms of growth and development. They're in such and such percentile. There is these markers that they're hitting, and they are growing and developing. That's normal. See, growth shows that things are healthy. Growth is an indicator that things are working. Let's look again, Luke 2:52.
And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people.
Okay, I like this here is he kept increasing. And so let's pull one word out of that is stature. He grew from a boy to a man. Jesus didn't remain the baby in the manger. He grew in every stage of life. That's the stature part. There was a natural process at work. So a lack of growth would be abnormal. The absence of growth, when that's not at work, we see that as a problem. You look at the gestation of a pregnancy, when the baby isn't growing, it's a problem. It's concerning. When a child isn't growing, there's a problem. Something is hindering. Something is stopping that, especially when things are designed for development. If you are created to grow and you're not, there's a problem. So this has been put into creation. This has been put into humanity. This has been put into spiritual life. Your spiritual life needs to grow. This is put into your skill. and things that you're involved in, there should be a growth and development. So you have to take an inventory in your life. Are there areas of your life that are growing? Can you look and look back and see, I've grown in this, I've developed in this, I have increased in this, I've gotten better at this? If you take an inventory, are there areas that you are not growing? Are there areas that are being stunted? Are there areas that are being hindered? Are there areas that you have not developed? With both growth or a lack of growth, how do you view it? How do you internalize it? How do you process it? Do you see it as acceptable or as a problem? Is growth something you're striving for, or, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it doesn't, it is what it is. So you have to recognize that. See, too often people accept the absence of growth as normal. Again, there's some folks, they have, you know, been saved 5 years, but really they've been saved 1 year five times, because they're in the exact same place that they've been since they prayed. Things haven't really changed. They really haven't developed or grown. Your convictions, if you were to look at them, have they grown? Have they developed? Are they more settled? Are they more immovable? Do you understand why you have them, why you're doing them? Is there development, or are they the same? Your marriage, you as a spouse, you as, with this group of men, the covering of your home, you as the spiritual leader, you as the father in making an investment, have you developed? Have you grown, or is it the same? Your parenting, your money, and how you manage it, and how you use it, and how you spend it, and how you save it, and how you obey God with it. Your fruitfulness. Is there any growth or development in that arena, or is it the same and it doesn't bother you? Your ministry. As a musician, as an actor, as a soundman, as fill in the blank, what are you doing to develop that part of your life, to develop that part of your ministry? Are you making investments? Your revelation, have you grown, or is it the same? Your relationships, are they, how you approach them, how you invest into them? Your mind, your heart. I mean, we can go on and on and on in every arena of life, but how are you growing? See, growth is the natural process. Now, how fast or how slow, that varies. That's just, certain people grow quicker in certain things than in other things. There's some, they're overall a fast grower. There's others, it takes more time. But is there growth at all? That's really the question. Have I grown at all? In every arena of life God has put into creation, growth is the natural process. So, in some ways, let's look secondly at facilitating growth. In some ways, growth will naturally happen. It's just put in. You don't have to work at it. You know, if I could tell myself to be taller, I would, but that's not how I've reached that point. So some things to a degree are automatic, right? You don't have to ask weeds to grow, for example. They'll find a way. They are resilient. They are persistent, etc. But majority of our good growth in our lives, the things that I just highlighted in the last point, they must be facilitated. It has to be an investment. It has to be intentional. There has to be some type of drive inside of you that says, I'm giving myself to this. I want to be better in this, better at this. I want to be more effective. I want to be more fruitful. I want to be more influential or impactful. So that has to be facilitated. You have to put in the hard work. So I want to ask you a question first. What would facilitate growth? What are some things that can help you grow? Yeah, David?
Well, this is kind of general, but I think just doing hard things, things that are hard for you.
Okay, so challenge.
Yeah.
Challenging yourself. Yeah, we grow in adversity. We grow in challenge. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Kobe?
Feeding on the Word of God.
Okay, feeding on the Word of God. Okay, yeah. And so getting God's wisdom in your life. Yep. How does God see it? How does God approach it? Yeah. What else would facilitate growth? Yeah, Pete?
Developing a discipline.
Okay, so settling a discipline. We'd be making changes, right? Changing your habits or the way you approach things. Yep.
Like vision, developing a vision.
Okay, so being able to see ahead. Where do I want to wind up? Yeah, absolutely. Good. Good. Yeah, all of those would be absolutely true. And so here's some that I wrote down. What would facilitate growth? Number one is what we need is revelation. God can give you what you need, right? So for some, what I need is wisdom. I need to know what to do. I need to know how to do this. I need to know when to do this. I need wisdom in that. God can give you revelation. God can show you, not only can he give you what you need, but he can show you what you need. Ever been in a situation, I just don't know exactly what I need, and God can point it out. God can help you see it, and that would go back to Sam's comment on vision. God can show that there is where you need to aim for. That is a good example of how you need to conduct yourself. That is good counsel for how to fix this or where to steer this, etc. So when you get God involved, or even back to Colby's comment on the Word of God, can give us revelation. Can help us see things correctly, can help us identify problem areas, blind spots. God can give us revelation. The second is education. You can learn how to grow and develop areas of your life. You can facilitate through aspects of education. So this could be, if there's something you want to grow in, read a book on it. I have couples like, you know, that I counsel. Years can go by that they've had problems and issues and the same cycle of arguments and trouble and character flaw. And, you know, sometimes I'll ask, have you ever read a book on marriage? No. Okay, but there's so many books out there. There's tons of resources available, Christian-based, that will line up with the Word of God, right? Getting in the Word of God, as, again, Colby had mentioned. But then education. We have so much information at our fingertips. You can Google a video on fill in the blank. You can see a TED Talk. You can listen to a podcast. You can tune in to a sermon. We have all of our sermons archived. We have a lot of our leadership churches have live streams. You can tune into words that will feed life, that will develop you. In other words, there's so many tools at your disposal in this avenue of education. You can educate yourself, right? There's the school of YouTube, as people call it. You want to fix anything, YouTube it, right? You want to learn an instrument. You want to learn how to sing better. You want to learn how to EQ a soundboard. You want to learn how to, but put in the work. Put in the work. and you can educate. Thirdly, what would facilitate growth, something I wrote down, is analyzing. You have to analyze life. You have to ask questions. You know, some of the best times I like to teach men how to analyze is when we have a really good victory. Right? When you have a really good victory of something that worked, that's the best time to look at it, because it's less depressing when you're on the win high. But, right, is number one, you can ask, why did that work? What about that made that so impactful? What about that drew such a crowd? What about that made it the success that it was? Why didn't that work? I think you should ask that. When things don't go well, when you didn't get the response you wanted, when you aren't seeing the results, you got to ask, why didn't that work? Why isn't this working? Right? They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Somehow this is going to change. Somehow this is going to be different this time. Why didn't it work? Why isn't it working? What can be better? I think that's a valid question, even in a successful accomplishment. Okay, now what can be better? How can I fine-tune that? How can I make this more effective? How can I fix this? Et cetera, et cetera. That's asking questions. That's analyzing. In an argument with your spouse, you're going to have disagreements. Why did that not go so well? How could I have said that better? What was my posture? What was my attitude? Right? On and on and on. You have to analyze life. Pastor Greg used to tell us as disciples all the time, you want to be a man of God, you need to learn how to think. It requires you to think. And that's very important there. Fourth way that we can facilitate growth is repentance. Sometimes we got to repent of some things, get our heart right with God. Maybe we need to repent of laziness, carnality. Maybe we need to repent of a certain attitude or worldview. Maybe we need to repent of unbelief. Maybe we need to repent of pride. Right? There are things that can be at work in our hearts that are contributing to our lack of growth. Things that are stunting our ability to grow and develop. We've got to repent, get our heart right with God. Sometimes repentance involves getting your heart right with people. Taking ownership, apologizing, humbling yourself. You wanna grow, that's going to help you grow. As David said, sometimes challenges for some people, apologizing is the biggest challenge they're going to do in their life. Because their pride is so wrapped up in it. Their worth is so wrapped up in it. Their identity is so tied that it's breaking down everything around them. And so this is a very important piece to facilitating growth. God, I repent. I want to deal with this. I want to fix this heart issue. I want to fix this heart attitude. I want to let go of my pride or my bitterness or my resentment so I can grow and develop. Lastly, then, and this goes back to a little bit what Pete was talking about, you've got to change some things. Make some disciplines. Implement some things. And you know, with change, again, as we're looking at in our Seeds of Change series, start small. Start small. There are things, especially in when it comes to salvation and when it comes to, you know, character, small changes pay big dividends. In your marriage, a small change can pay a big dividend. In your parenting, a small change can produce such a great harvest in life and in with your relationship with your kids. So start small and then be moldable for change. Sometimes we are too rigid. We're not pliable. We're not able to reform and reassess some things. Be willing to make changes. Right? Be willing to address whatever it is that is choking the life out of your growth and development. So These are ways that you can facilitate growth. I want to grow. I recognize I need to grow. I see that I'm hindered or I've really not progressed. Years can go down the road and I'm doing the same things. I'm again, Pastor Greg, I want to be a better preacher 1 year from now. So I am going to put in the work. And that's really a key word, isn't it? Work. I'm going to work at my growth. I'm going to work for my growth. I'm going to work at dealing with and fixing and investing in. So let's close. Let's talk about observable growth. So our main passage here, it is a recognition statement. What I mean by that is it was observable by other people that Jesus grew. Luke 2:52.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Okay, this was observed in Jesus. So, like I said, he didn't remain, you know, the baby in the manger. No, he grew in stature. He matured. He got taller. But not only in the natural, the stature, the physical part of him, he also grew in wisdom. Right? Think about that. From when he was 12 years old and teaching in the temple, okay? I know we're talking about God in the flesh, but right? He's 12 years old ministering in the temple. They're in awe to when he begins ministry. The Bible says there are people and they marveled at his teaching and they wondered at his teaching and they were amazed. There was growth. There was development. He grew in wisdom. He also grew in favor. It was observed. God was on his life. They could identify God's at work in him. You can see when God's at work in a man's life. Man, God's at work in them. That altar call was anointed. Man, God's at work in them. That band. There's an anointing when they minister. God's at work in that pastor. God's at work in that disciple. God's at work in that ministry leader. God's at work in, you can see it. There's a difference. It's anointing. It's a effectiveness. It's a supernatural dimension at work on their life. So he's growing in favor with God. With God. And you know what? All of that is, let me say that right. All of that is accomplished in the unseen. Right? Jesus said, do these things in secret and they will be rewarded in public. I'm taking the time. Nobody's observing my prayer life, but I'm taking the time in prayer and it's showing over here. No one's observing my Bible reading life. No one's observing my how much I'm taking in and feeding on the Word of God, but it's showing in my witness. But it's showing in my fruitfulness, right? That's that unseen, but yet observable dynamic at work. He grew in favor, then it says, with people. Jesus developed his skill with people. Look at the ways in which he talked to people. Look at the ways in which he addressed people. Look at the variety of ways he spoke to people that came with needs. I mean, each conversation is different. Why? Because every person was different. Every need was different. Every background was different. And yet he could speak to them and gain favor with them. And all of this was noted about him. Luke 2:52 is not written by Jesus. It's written by Luke. It's written by the looking back and the reports that, you know, we saw when Jesus first started. There would have been people that could recount that. We saw when he was in Galilee. You know, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. It was observed. It was seen by other people. So, how can we know that we are growing? Is that people recognize it. People identify it. People speak of it. Let's read 1 Timothy 4:15.
Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all.
Okay, here in his translation, that your progress may be evident. As you commit, as you're diligent, as you're working on these things, people are going to notice your progress. People are going to see your progress. It's going to be observed by those around you. So, our job is to take inventory of every arena of our life and everything that you are involved in and ask yourself, have I grown? Ask yourself, have I developed? Can I personally see it? Can my wife see it? Can my kids see it? Can my pastor see it? Can the people I am in ministry with see it? Have I grown? Am I growing? Let's read Galatians 6 in verse 4.
Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load.
Okay, so here in this, take an inventory of yourself, right? Pay careful attention to your own work. So why don't we grow sometimes? I think another one that's occurring to me is comparison. Well, you know, I know I'm not Pastor Greg, but I'm also not this guy over here, right? Comparison. No, take an inventory of your own work. Look at your own life, your work ethic, the way you talk to people, your marriage. Take an inventory of self. Are you satisfied? Are you doing a job well done? Jimmy Carter, before he became the president of the United States, I'm just remembering this, but I read this in a book. He was in the military, and he was applying for a job in the military. And in that interview, he was asked, "Have you given 100% to all the work you've done thus far? Have you given 100%? And he was thrown off guard on it, and he said, no. He was being honest. He didn't get the job. After that, he said, I'm going to give 100% to everything I do. And ultimately became president of the United States. Right? But whether it's president of the United States or maybe father of the year of your house, husband of the year in your home, right? Doing your ministry 100% of what you can give. Whatever it is, you can commit and get the satisfaction of a job well done. Finally, then, God wants you to grow. God wants this for you. Not only has he put it into creation, but God wants you to develop in your own life. God wants you to master and develop your own abilities for him, to him, right? It gives glory to God, but he wants to enable you. So it's not just up to you. The point of this isn't work harder or do more. That's not the point. The point is, this is what God says he can accomplish in you. Right? Jesus growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, but he also needed in that humanity the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He also needed prayer. He also needed the word of God in his humanity. And God gave him what he needed, and God can give you what you need. Let's read Hebrews 13:21.
May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him.
Okay, may he equip you. God wants you to do his will. And God says, I'm gonna help you. I'm going to give you what you need. May he produce in you. It's not there, but God can produce it. The power He can give you what you need for every good thing that's pleasing to him. So when you are doing your part, God will faithfully do his part. And you can have observable growth. Okay, let's open for some questions there. Yeah, David.
You mentioned before that with life there's challenges and you automatically are challenged to grow in different areas just through the circumstances of life. But the intentional growth, would you recommend, like how you approach it, would you recommend trying to grow in different areas at once or focusing on a limited number at a time and prioritizing those to really grow and develop those areas?
Yeah, that's a good question, yeah. I think, David, the best thing you can do to develop every part of your life is to develop a Bible reading and prayer life. If you'll develop that, it flows into every arena of life. Right? The more I submitted myself to Jesus, the better husband I became. The more I submitted to Jesus, the better father I became, the better worker I became, the better steward of money I became, the better follow-up and evangelism. I got a heart and a burden for it. Everything, my ministry, I wanted effectiveness. I wanted anointing. My fill in the blank, it flows from that. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. What's in here is going to water everything. So I think the first thing you can focus on is your relationship with God. When that is being tailored and attended to, it's going to impact these other areas. Yeah. Good. Very good question. Yeah.
So what comes first, Bible reading or prayer? If you had a prayer, turn one over the other, what's first?
Yeah, that's a great question, Roy. I mean, both have different applications, but I'd say Bible reading will teach you how to pray and teach you what to pray for, right? Faith is built on the Word of God. The foundation of faith is the Word of God. So as you are building your faith in God's Word, it will encourage and motivate a prayer life. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, Sam.
Can you go back to your comment on comparison, how that holds us back from growth?
Yeah, well, I mean, it holds us back because we say, no, I'm not at, I use Pastor Greg, I'm not Pastor Greg's level, but I'm also not, you know, this carnal, almost backslidden, you know, guy over here. So in there you're saying, I'm doing pretty good, I think, right? I'm doing better than him, but I'm not as good as him. So that can hinder our growth when we compare, right? I think Pastor Greg often uses the quote from Mike Tyson, right? I'm no Mother Teresa, but I'm not Marilyn Manson either, or Charles Manson, sorry, either. So, yeah, so that's comparison. Yeah, but you still raped a lady, you know? That's not okay. So, but that's comparison, yeah. And that will hinder us. Because we'll always tend to compare ourselves lower. Right? So, yeah.
This past week you mentioned about when you fully surrender every area of your life, that's where you begin to see the change.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that we don't know that we're not surrendering that area, but we are because we're just continuing the same habits and doing what we do,
yeah,
and miss it,
yeah,
and then
definitely
we don't grow.
Yeah, I think so. Jacob is you have to take an honest assessment, right? Humility is the honest opinion of self. Pride is the dishonest opinion of self. So sometimes we're headstrong in something, you know, and areas of life are not growing or developing or changing, but we're headstrong. No, but I've got this figured out. But do you? Because you keep lapping the same issue. You keep circling the same problem. So yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we don't even see it, which comes back to that revelation. We need God to show us. So you can't you can't really know until you're listening, right? Until you're surrendered and saying, God, whatever you say. So there was a lot in my life. I'd grow in salvation for a long time. I'd grow in salvation to this limit. But what was the problem? It was a lack of surrender. I surrendered to a point. I surrendered to what was comfortable or what I wanted. But when I surrendered everything, I said, God, you have access. And this goes back to David's question. God didn't say, okay, well, good thing. I've been waiting to give you this list. You know, no, God began to tweak and fix areas. And in his grace and in his mercy and compassion, he doesn't throw it all at us at once, but he begins to work out the most important things, maybe the most damaging things, right? And like I said, it affected every arena of my life. And then on top of that is in surrendering to God, really I'm surrendering to the authority of God. You know, Pastor Greg was here 4 years or almost 5 years. And when I surrendered my life to Jesus, like, wow, this guy can preach. I loved every sermon when I surrendered to Jesus. Before that, I just didn't matter because I wasn't there, right? I wasn't surrendered. Yeah. So that makes the big difference, definitely. So yeah, we could miss it because of a lack of surrender, right? Which comes back to, in facilitating growth, repent. Repentance will help you grow. Yeah. Good. Yeah,
I just, you said you were up to a point. Like, what helped you recognize that? Or is that, it was, you start reading and praying? And
yeah, it was just, yeah, really just surrender, IO. I mean, again, I was born and raised in church, right? And it didn't make a difference. I really didn't even know a lot about the Bible, you know? Sitting in church my entire life. There was things, I say the joke, but it's real. There was conversations my wife would say, the Bible says this, or it says that, and we'd have these conversations. No, it doesn't. I don't, really? And then she'd show me, and I'd be like, wow, okay, it does. That's interesting. I didn't know that, you know, or I didn't realize that. I just was totally unplugged and disconnected. But when I surrender, that's the power of conversion. That's what you're missing is so what did you do? No, what did God do in me? That's the difference maker. It's conversion and surrender, yeah, tied to your surrender. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, John?
You talked about not doing everything, like joining a lot of ministries, but can you reiterate it's about, I don't know if I'm talking about the same line, surrender, you say something? You mentioned about, it's not about joining ministries, all kinds of stuff, but it's relationship with God, or
did
you mention that?
Okay, yeah. That particular, I mean, I went through a list of whatever you're involved in. Yeah. Growth should be normal. So whatever you're involved in, if it's, you know, your ministry, are you better at sound? If it's sound, are you better as a musician? If it's, you play, you know, an instrument. Are you better as a singer? Are you better as a lyricist? Are you better as someone who's doing videos and screens? Like, do you know your program, right? All of those things are growth and development. That we have powerful tools at our fingertips, but how are you using them, right? But you can take an inventory. That would be in ministry, but then even in personal life, right? Take an inventory, your marriage, your relationships, etc. And so then, yeah, you can bring that to God, and I want to be better in this. I want to grow at this. I want to be more fruitful, yeah, in everything. So, yeah. Good, and God will help you. That is the encouragement. God wants us to be fruitful in all these arenas. Yep. Good. Yeah.
Just one of the things that Pastor Greg has mentioned that came to mind with your answer right now was having an excellent spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, what does that come from?
Yeah, I think that comes from God is excellent, right? God does good work. God is you know, when he made creation, he said he called it good. So I think excellence comes from giving God your best. He gives us his best. I want to give him my best, right? That excellence is a stewardship, in essence, right? You're managing what belongs to him. So I want to be an excellent man of God for his sheep, for his flock. I want to be an excellent preacher because these are his people, right? So all of that is God gives us his best. Why wouldn't I give him mine, right? Yeah, good question. Yeah, Anthony.
Would you say, like, when you're praying or contending for particular areas of growth, you also have to go for those when it comes to, like, act upon your faith, like, reap what you sow, prepare for that growth and actually step out in faith in those areas?
Yes, absolutely. You have to then apply it. That's why I said in the beginning is, you know, in Pastor Greg's comment of I want to be a better preacher, he doesn't just say it, he works at it, right? We know his schedule. I mean, he's all over the world all the time, and that takes a lot of work. That's a lot of diligence, the wisdom and that he's developed, etc. All the things we can reference in his life, he's worked at it. Sometimes we ask questions and he'll say, you know, don't ask me how I know that. I know that through mistake, or I know that through failures, or I know that through reaping bad consequences. So absolutely is you may have an aim in which you want to grow in, but then you have to apply yourself. So in any arena of life, yes, you then have to apply. And how do you do that? Again, the five we looked at, or even some of the other ones that came up, those will help us grow whatever arena of life. So yeah, not only seeing it and acknowledging it, but then what kind of work does that involve? Yeah, good. Yeah, I am.
Would you say that growth is transferable, like from one to another? If you grow, you can take, like say you've grown in, I don't know, fruitfulness, then you can transfer that to another area in your life.
Yeah.
As far as like the hunger or whatever that is fueling that to attain those.
Yes, I think it is transferable, meaning, right, it's going to be hard, for example, it's going to be hard to be disciplined in one area and not be in another. It's possible, but it does make it harder. You're going to be one or the other, right? Either I'm really disciplined in something or I'm not going to be disciplined in it altogether. So once you start, again, coming back to a little bit of David's question, when you build that relationship with God, if you'll be disciplined there, Bible reading, prayer life, church faithfulness, those things are going to flow into every arena. You can't help it, especially when you're letting God work on you, right? When I let God work on me, and when I still to this day allow him to work on me and in me, it's either I'm going to obey or not. So either I'm going to grow or not, right? And so I think, yes, it is transferable. And the things that I became disciplined in early on, little by little grew into other disciplines and other growths and developments in other areas, right? And again, some of it was by force, you know? I took over a work where, you know, things were hanging on by a thread and there wasn't a whole lot of involvement. I'm gonna have to learn a couple things here. I'm gonna have to learn video. I'm gonna have to learn sound better. I'm gonna have to learn some of these other things. So what do? I researched, I self-taught, I watched, I still watch, I still ask questions, I'm still growing, right? But I'm fine-tuning all these different arenas. But that's been developed over time, yeah. And it's been transferred, right? When I saw I can be faithful in this, so then that tells me I can be faithful in this other thing. And I can be faithful over here too, right? It's not like I'm faithful to read my Bible, but I'm not faithful to my wife. It's not going to work out. No, if you're faithful in reading your Bible, it will flow into your faithfulness to your wife, your faithfulness to salvation, your faithfulness to other arenas. Yeah. So I think, yes, it's transferable. Good. Yeah, Kenny.
I just want to ask, so when you're taking information, watching videos, whatever, how do you practically remember those things? Because sometimes you don't use it until later or at a certain moment time. Is it like, does God just bring it to remembrance, like the Bible, like the Holy Spirit says, like he'll bring remembrance of certain things? Because I feel like in my personality, I have to really memorize everything so I can get it, you know? But like, how do you even memorize things, or just learn it and then God reminds you later when you need it?
Well, when it comes to his word, that's, you know, the Bible says, when I send the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when I send that, he will guide you into truth and he will remind you of my word. So that's very specific, right? So what does the Holy Spirit remind us of? The words of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit inspires scripture. So that's what you're talking about there. On the other hand, when I'm watching things to grow and develop and learn, I take notes. And I keep notes. That's what helps me. So if I'm, you know, I have a whole note on people skills, quotes and comments. So it's all into one file. And it's just things that, oh, that, I like that. Oh, that puts into words something I do instinctively, but I didn't know how to say it. Oh, that is going to be helpful, right? And I just draw these different things that apply to me, and that helps me retain, and I write it down. With any book, I make notes. So I have book notes on books that I've read. If I watch a video on something to do with sound, I take notes. I write it down so I can go back and reference it in real time. If it's something to do with an instrument, anything and everything, for me, notes are helpful, right? And that helps me retain that knowledge. But do I retain every bit of information of every bit of thing I consume for this? No. But at the end of the day, I know God's going to help me. He will equip me. He will give me what I need if I'm asking for it, right? He will put into me what I need. And when I don't know and I'm not getting clarity and I'm not understanding or recognize, I talk to my pastor. I ask him, I'd like your thoughts. I'd like your opinion. I need some counsel. I need some guidance on this. I want to know how you would approach this. Right? And then that gives me insight, right? And that gives me a template for the future. So all kinds of different ways it works out, Kenny. But then you can pray and ask God, help me to retain. Right? I need that ability. I wasn't very good in school growing up. I graduated because I was a good talker. I was a smooth talker, you know? I didn't show up, you know, the last 2 years of school, and yet I convinced teachers to just let me take a test, and if I, whatever my grade is, let that be my grade for the year, you know? Like, how that happened, I have no idea, but it did. So that was very difficult for me. Like, reading, comprehension. You know, I bombed biology 2 years in a row. I just didn't get it. But yet, then I passed it somehow, you know? So it wasn't because I got better at biology, you know? I struggled with that. Even in college, when I got my certifications to be able to work in the ER, my wife helped me every step of the way. I failed my test the first time I took it. I failed it for my certification. The written part, the practical part, no problem. The written part, I sat down with my instructor and he went over every question with me. He said, you just aced this test. And I was like, wow, I did? And he's like, yeah, seriously, you just aced it every question. So it's in there. So then I took it again and I got a C. So I don't know how that happens. That's my learning ability. I'm more practical. But I began to pray. When Pastor Greg would say, you want to be a man of God, you need to think You got to analyze. You got to ask questions. I pray, God, I need that because I don't have it. And God really helped me with that. He gave me what I needed and has built in me the man that's in front of you today. But that was getting a hold of God. Yeah. Good. Good question. Very good. All right, we'll stop right there, guys. Thank you so much for your time.